God has given you and me the right to leave him out.
Dr. Tony Evans says if we're smart enough not to do that, the first steps are to stop, drop, and pray.
What prayer does is it calls on God to intervene in ways he wants to intervene anyway, but won't do it until requested to do so.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If God already knows what's going on in our lives and knows what he plans to do about it, what's the point of prayer? Dr. Evans has some surprising answers as he takes us to Ephesians chapter 6 for a message he calls Putting on the Armor.
A bodybuilder one day went to Africa. He was doing a tour of Africa. He was one of these hugely buffed guys, and they thought they would entertain the villagers by letting him do profiles of physique. So he did all of these different turns and twists, and muscles were bulging, and it was quite an impressive performance that this tribe had never seen before, this kind of bodybuilding exposition. After he was completed, the tribal chief said to him, he said, "That really looked good. That was extremely impressive." He said, I don't know that I've seen that many muscles on a man before. He said, "What else do you use all of that for?" To which the bodybuilder, this was his profession, he said, "Well, nothing else." To which the tribal chief said, "What a waste to have all that muscle and not use it. What a waste to have all this armor and not use it." The Apostle Paul has said to the church at Ephesus and to us that your struggle is not against the physical world. Verse 12 of chapter 6, flesh and blood. That's where it is expressed. That's not where it's rooted. That's merely where the fruit manifests itself. It's not against the physical world, flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world forces of this darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Whatever is plaguing you today emanates from the spiritual realm. So if you and I do not address the cause, you can't get to the cure. The enemy doesn't want you to know or take seriously that it emanates from the spiritual realm, because then you might address it spiritually. As long as he can keep you dealing with the fruit and bypass the root, he can keep you hostage. Paul says, your wrestle is in another realm. It's in heavenly places. And because your battle is in the spiritual realm, that's where your fight must be. But the good news is he tells you to stand firm, because in that realm, Jesus has already gotten victory. In the spiritual realm, regardless of what you're going through in the physical realm, in the spiritual unseen realm, Jesus Christ has already gotten victory. You are victorious in the invisible, even though you may be thoroughly defeated in the visible. So if you want to be victorious in the physical like you are in the spiritual, you must address the physical spiritually. If you don't address the visible, physical, spiritually, then you have a victory that you're not experiencing because of how the physical is dominating. One of the toughest things for God to get his people to do is to look at life and live life from the spiritual frame of reference and not from the reference point of the five senses. He has given us equipment with which to do that. He comes to verse 18 in Ephesians 6, and he says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf." I want you to notice how many times the word or a synonym for prayer is used. in that short segment. All prayer and petition, pray. Comes to the end of it, petition for all the saints. Beginning of verse 19, and pray. How do you put on the armor? How do you wear what God has given us for victory? How do we grab it, get it, hold on to it? And he tells you in verse 18 and following, he says, the answer is prayer. Now the question is, what is it? We talk about prayer, we speak about it, we do it. But I want to take us a little deeper to make sure we understand it. Because when you understand prayer, it changes that you pray, how you pray, whether you pray, and your expectations having prayed. For far too many people, even Christians, prayer is like the national anthem before a football game or a baseball game. It gets the game started, but has absolutely no relevance to what's happening on the field. It is an exercise in habit. Most of us, for example, when we pray before we eat, really don't need our minds to do that. Because it's going to be the same thing we say every day. Lord, bless this food and nourish it to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us really don't need our minds when we go to bed. If we're tired, you know, bless me, bless my family, give me a good night's sleep, you know, protect me during the night, wake me up tomorrow, in Jesus' name, amen. It is carrying forth an expectation and a routine without meaning. For many of us, prayer is like a spare tire. We want it there in case we really need it. But if we don't need it, as long as it's back there somewhere and we can whip it out, particularly in an emergency, then we need it. But I want to explain what Paul wants to explain, which is why he uses it so many times in this verse, coming at the end of this section. Because if you understand prayer in the context of this section, it will change whether you pray and, in fact, how you pray, and it will change what you get when you pray. Simply defined, I would like to define prayer as earthly permission for heavenly interference. Earthly permission for heavenly interference. It is earth giving heaven permission to interfere or to intervene in what is happening in my world of reality from the spiritual point of view. Prayer is giving heaven permission to intervene. Now, that raises a question. Why does heaven need permission? Why must I give heaven permission? There's a whole theology behind this, but to sum it up, you have to understand how God organized the world to work. He organized the world to work through people. Therefore, when he created Adam and Eve, he said, let them rule. So God has given us rulership over the earth, and he joins us when invited to do so. In other words, there are certain things God's going to do because, you know, he's God and he can do it. But there are many things, and maybe even most things, that God does not intervene on unless requested. Because he wants to know you want him. You need him, desire him, and have expectations of him. And so he does not intervene or participate unless requested to do so. Because God has given you and me the right to leave him out. You can leave him out. You can put him on the shelf. You can act independently of him. Prayer doesn't make God do anything. Okay? Prayer doesn't force him, cajole him. If God doesn't plan to do it, I don't care how much you pray about it.
So why bother praying? Dr. Evans will have the answer when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, time is running out on our special offer on Tony's powerful book, Warfare. In it, he explains why we need to depend on God's power if we're going to win the invisible spiritual battle going on around us, whether it takes the form of substance abuse, emotional issues, or even relationship problems. To get your copy of Warfare, just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution, and we'll say thanks by sending it your way. And if you contact us before this offer runs out tomorrow, we'll include CDs of all 8 full-length messages in Tony's current series on the armor of God as a bonus. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. I'll repeat that information later on. Stay with us.
The biblical roles of husbands and wives, the source of our authority as believers, understanding the concept of grace, winning spiritual battles. They're all important subjects, but seem as different as night and day. Would it surprise you to know there's a common thread running through all 4? You can discover what it is by taking the course on Ephesians in the Tony Evans Training Center. One by one, you'll dig into the powerful themes of this book and make new discoveries about what Jesus' death accomplished, how to maintain unity at home and at church, what spiritual armor is all about. The course includes custom content from Tony, not available anywhere else. Work through it at your own pace. Collaborate with other students. Get your specific questions answered through our online forum. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center at TonyEvans.org. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. Start today. TonyEvans.org.
Prayer does not force God's hand. But what prayer does is it calls on God to intervene in ways he wants to intervene anyway, but won't do it until requested to do so. Let me show you what I mean, for example. The end of the book of James. He says in James chapter 5, verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." He says, pray for one another so that you may be healed. In other words, he makes a condition of the healing the prayer. Then he makes a general statement. The effectual prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Not a little, a whole lot. Elijah, verse 17, was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, don't say, I wish I was back in the Old Testament because God did all that stuff back there for them. He says Elijah was just like you. He had a nature, he was a man, he was human. And he prayed earnestly, effectually, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced fruit. It says he's an ordinary man, just like you and me. Elijah had nothing on you. He had a like nature, just a regular man. But he was a righteous man, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it stopped raining for 3 years. He prayed again that it would rain, and it rained and then produced fruit or produced results on earth, because of course that's what rain does. It allows vegetation and fruit to grow. So he says that this ordinary man got heaven to move, because rain comes from up there. There was a problem on earth. He called on heaven, and heaven moved. But I want to take you back to when he prayed. So turn back to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18 verse 1. Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. Okay. Now, all we read in James, in the New Testament, was that he prayed it would not rain and stopped. Then he prayed that it would rain and it started. That's all James tells us. But the Bible tells us that we ought to compare scripture with scripture. So now I'm taking you back to when he prayed that it would rain. God said in chapter 18, verse 1, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the face of the earth. What did God say he was going to do? He said he was going to send rain. The sovereign God said, this is what I'm going to do. Now, in chapter 18, if you go over to verse 41, now Elijah said to Ahab, he was told to go show himself to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. And Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked. He said, there is nothing. And he said, go back seven times. He came about at the seventh time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Let me just give you the cliff notes. God said, it's going to rain. So watch this. When Elijah prayed, he only prayed about what God said. In other words, he wasn't just making up stuff on the spot. God said it was going to rain. But wait a minute. What God said didn't come true until he prayed. Even though God declared it in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, no rain hit earth until it got called down for from Elijah. In other words, prayer called down what God already had intended to do. Prayer didn't make God do something he hadn't planned to do. God had already told him, I planned for it to rain. All prayer did was call it down. In other words, all Elijah's prayer did was grab what God had already intended to do and bring it down to earth. Prayer is not making God do something he never planned to do. Prayer is grabbing what God intended to do and driving it down to earth. But it doesn't happen on earth just because it's already intended in heaven. It happens on earth because it was grabbed by earth when heaven has already declared it to be and brought it down to earth by our participation with it. What I'm trying to say is when Paul says to pray, he is not just saying have these general, meaningless, repetitious, empty conversations and think that because you threw God's name out, it was something significant. He says what makes it significant is you understand what prayer is. It is earthly permission for heavenly interference predicated on the fact that this is what heaven intended to do. Your problem is in heavenly places. Prayer takes you there. Prayer is the human means of entering in to the supernatural realm in order to utilize the armor. When you look back at Ephesians chapter 6, and you look at the last piece of armor before he even talks about prayer, he says that we are to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, the best way to pray is when you throw God's word back at him. Praying in light of what he says gives you authority in the spiritual realm. Let me put it another way. If you don't know what God has said, or you don't know what to expect from God, then you will pray vague prayers, you will pray empty prayers, and the armor won't seem to work because you're not connecting it with the spiritual realm in which it operates. He says, I want you to make contact with God. Flesh and blood. See, we spend all of our time talking to men about God and very little time talking to God about men. We spend a lot of time talking to and about our circumstances. We'll talk on the phone. We'll talk to people who usually can't solve our problem. We're looking for sympathy. And so we talk to folks who can sympathize with us. But what you need are answers, not sympathy. What you need is heaven to invade earth. When you throw God's stuff back at him in a thing called prayer, you're not making God do something. You are simply receiving by faith what he's already planned to do. Prayer is the means of contacting the invisible spiritual realm and bringing it down to the visible physical realm. And that is the way you engage the armor and put the armor to work. He says, with all prayer and partition, pray at all times in the spirit. When he says, I want you to pray at all times, he's not talking about 24 hours a day, you having this verbal conversation with God. He's talking about all opportune times. And notice the real context that it occurs in verse 13, take on the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. That's the day when all hell breaks loose. That's the day when you feel like you're going to lose your mind. That's the day when nothing's going right. That's the day when you're just not going to make it. That's the day when you wonder, how am I going to get through another day? Because you're under attack. He says, on that day, at that time, when you're under that kind of attack, you need this kind of prayer. Because that day demands the armor of God be worn by you in all of God's power brought to bear on your circumstances.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final thought about how we can connect with what's going on in the spiritual world around us. In the meantime, if you'd like to get hold of all 8 full-length messages in Tony's current teaching series, Armor of God, a piece-by-piece inventory of the gear God has equipped us with to fight spiritual battles and win, you can get it as a bonus when you visit TonyEvans.org, request the book Warfare, and make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. This offer runs out tomorrow, so don't wait. That's TonyEvans.org, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are available around the clock to help you. 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, more from Dr. Evans on putting on the armor of God, including a look at why the answer to our prayers may not be obvious. Right now, though, he's back with this closing illustration.
We've got radio and TV signals all around us. We're not hearing any music, because we don't have anything right now to pull it down. In other words, if you turn on the radio right now, what's invisible will become visible. You'll be able to hear it. If you had a TV set plugged in, you would be able to see it because you have something to receive it. You need something in the physical to receive the waves in the invisible. Even if you don't have a radio and don't have a television, the waves are still operating. They're still all over the place. They're still surrounding us. But the lack of something to grab it and receive it and bring it to the physical keeps you from knowing it's there. God is moving. God is all over the place. The spiritual realm is totally surrounding you right now. There are angels in this room. There are demons in this room. The invisible realm is all over you right now. You just can't see it. And you can't feel it. Until you draw it down. Okay? Prayer is the means of contacting the invisible spiritual realm and bringing it down to the visible physical realm. And that is the way you engage the armor and put the armor to work.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.